I started to write it down, the Lord said, don't write that down. I think it's neat that Daniel and John were privy to some stuff that nobody else is. God said, I'm going to let you in on this, but you can't tell anyone. And today, Paul's going to disclose the mystery of the gospel. If you remember, when Jesus taught, he said, I will open my mouth in parables and utter things kept secret from the beginning of the world. And his disciples asked him one day, why do you do that? Why do you speak in parables? They didn't understand them. But it said after he would talk to the crowd, he'd take his disciples offside and he'd explain the parables. And one of them asked him one day, well, why do you do that? He says, because it's been given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but not to them. He said, this fulfilled what Isaiah said, be ever hearing, but never hearing. Be ever learning, but never understanding. God said, unless they hear and they're converted and I heal them. That part was a judgment. And it's also because of the hardness of their hearts because of sin. If you want to live in the flesh, and by that I mean you want to live apart from the influence and the leading of the Holy Spirit, you can, but you'll get all the consequences that go with it. And part of the consequence is you become so hard, you won't listen to the Holy Spirit, you won't respond to the Holy Spirit. The Word of God becomes foolishness to you, and you get into this deceived thinking that you got it, and you're okay like you are. Well, the church was having issues, and Pastor Paul's addressed some of these issues, and today he's going to talk to them about the mysteries. Gnosticism was coming into the church at this time. Gnosis is the Greek word. It means wisdom, and it's hidden wisdom. And the Gnostics taught that there's this secret wisdom that we have, and you can have it for a price. Sounds like some of our TV evangelists today. You know, God gave me this heavy Revy, and for $49.95, I'll give it to you. And you'll also get this gold medallion with your name on it. You know, they're trying to market the Word of God. Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. You now don't hold me to that, because you're going to say, well, then, preacher, we're going to quit paying you. Yeah. But that went on then, it goes on now. But I got on a Gnostic website the other day, and they said, we're dedicated to knowledge. Well, that's a great thing. I respect people that have spent the time and acquired the degrees, and I know they've worked for that. I respect that. I respect knowledge. But remember, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, to God. And it said he chose by the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Now, Paul today, in his epistle, he's saying, I'm going to share a mystery with you that I got from Jesus. Our text is in Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 13. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. I have written briefly, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory. Father, I thank you that your word does not return void. Holy Spirit, I ask you to take the sword and to do your will here this morning. Open our hearts Let us see what you see. Lord, encourage, rebuke, strengthen, edify us. And we ask that everything done here today will be for the glory of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we ask it. Amen. Paul's writing this epistle in a prison. I didn't mention that when we started this series. He's in a Roman prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, and almost every one of the letters he wrote was from prison. Now, that's how much of a barn burner this man was. Paul was a go-getter. Any of you watch that series, AD, and it shows Saul on his way to Damascus. I mean, he's picking them up and putting them down. He's walking by foot, and these guys are almost double time and trying to keep up with him. In the AD series, Saul's just this, man, he's dead set on it. He's got his mind fixed on what he's going to do, and he's going to Damascus. He's going to get those Christians. And after he comes to Christ and Christ changes his life, he doesn't lose that drive, but now it's for a different reason. And Paul's been running around here all over Asia Minor, all over the area of Judea, and out into other areas. He's going around. He's establishing churches. He said, my goal is to preach Jesus where he's never been preached. Because Isaiah said, I'll be found by those who didn't seek me. And Paul was going on that scripture. He was a barn burner. And I believe, but my own opinion, if Paul had never done any time in prison, we wouldn't have a lot of the epistles we have. Paul wouldn't have wrote letters. He'd have went and talked to him in person. But now that he's in prison, he's sitting still. And I think God said, why don't you write a letter? You know, people came to see Pastor Paul in prison. They brought him provisions because back then you didn't get fed in jail if somebody didn't bring you food. You was just there. So churches are providing for his needs. And they're saying, Pastor Paul, we're having a problem in Ephesus. And, you know, could you address this issue? And Paul said, well, sure. So he sat down and wrote this letter. We've talked about how God preordained, before he ever laid the foundation of the earth, he preordained the plan of salvation, that we would come to him through Jesus Christ. There's no other way you can be saved. If you're here this morning, I've been hitting on this, and I'm going to keep hitting on it till the day the Lord takes me home. Religion will not get you to heaven. Being religious is not going to get you to heaven. Good works won't get you there. Believing in Jesus isn't going to get you there unless your faith is backed by action. I'm not talking about work salvation. I'm talking about your faith producing works. The fruit of the Holy Spirit being produced in your life. Now, Paul today is going to talk to the church about a mystery. And what's neat to me in studying this, he said this is a mystery God kept hidden for a long time. He didn't share it. I can't imagine how the Old Testament prophets felt. Isaiah said he'll grow up before him as a tender plant, as a shoot out of dry ground. He'll have no form or comeliness that we should desire him. He will be despised and rejected. We shall esteem him stricken by God. And the Bible says Isaiah had no idea who he's talking about. Now, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is inspired scripture. But the Bible says Isaiah did not know. Now, I'll read that to you later. He had no idea who the person was he was talking about. David would prophesy and play the harp. And one day David says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And David's singing the blues on his harp. And he's bending them strings and he's thinking, I wonder who this is about. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. That was some 800 years before they crucified. The Assyrians invented crucifixion. That was some 800 years before crucifixion ever started. And David, through the Holy Spirit, prophesied, they shall look on me whom they have pierced. They have pierced my hands and my feet. My bones are sticking out. My tongue is cleaving to the roof of my mouth. David's sitting here in the Spirit singing praises, and he's a prophet. Jesus quoted the Psalms almost more than he did any other book that's recorded in the Bible. But David didn't know who he's talking about. Can you imagine that? I can't. God was saying, it's not time yet, guys. I want you to write this. I want you to say this. I want you to preach this. And some of the preaching pertained to the people of that day, and they still didn't understand it, a lot of them didn't, or they didn't repent. But when he talked about the Christ, these guys got a chance to share in that, to prophesy, but they didn't know who the Christ was, and God didn't tell them. He just said, you got to trust me. There's a man coming. Isaac knew about him, or Jacob, when he was dying, he told Judah, the scepter will never depart from you until Shiloh comes. Who's Shiloh? I don't know. I know he's coming, but we don't know who he is. You know, he's Messiah. We don't know who Messiah is. So what they did is they started making up their own interpretation of who Messiah was. He's going to be a mighty war general. He was going to grow up in the house of a king, son of David, you know, going to have the best of the best, and going to be a political leader, and yada, yada, yada. But they were just guessing. You and I live in exciting times because the mystery's been revealed. It's not a secret anymore. I don't know why the church wants to keep it a secret. We had that out there on the sign a while back, and I like that. It said, Christian, keep your faith, but not to yourself. Okay? So Paul's getting ready to show them the mystery. He said this mystery of God was hidden from men and angels. This is in time past. Peter says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. They searched the word that they had. They prayed. They searched God's face carefully. He said, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves. They were serving not themselves, I'm sorry, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Wow. I've always kind of envied the angels, especially when I was a kid. Always thought it'd be kind of neat to be an angel. I'd give up being a person to be an angel, get to hang around with God, you know, get to hang around the kingdom of heaven. But my Bible says I have things the angels desire. They can't have it. Jesus Christ didn't come to save the angels. That's how I know he wasn't Michael the archangel who became a man, because he didn't come here to save angels. He came here to save men and women. Peter said angels desired to look into it. The prophets searched diligently, inquired, asked God questions. And God said, nope, you're part of this, but it's not time. It reminds me of when Jesus' men, when he ascended, before he ascended back to heaven, they said, Lord, now are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus said, that time's not for you to know. He said, I don't know. The angels don't know. Only the Father knows. Jesus basically said, just go do what I told you to do till I come back, and you'll be blessed if you're doing what I told you to do when I come back. Yeah, but we want to know. And Jesus said, no. I heard about a preacher that fasted some 30 days and prayed and asked God to reveal to him the secrets that Daniel was told not to write. I thought, man, all you did was lose weight. Because God said, no, you don't need to know this. I'm not going to tell you this. Jesus said, if you're a child of God today, you're blessed. He told his disciples this. He said, truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And how much do we take that for granted today? We don't read our Bibles. We don't come to worship. We watch raunchy TV shows and listen to raunchy music and fill ourselves with the world and rest in the fact that we believe in Jesus, so that means we're going to heaven. And we don't have to change. We don't have to change the way we think. We don't have to change what we do. You know, we just go on and, yeah, bless Jesus. He saved my soul. And Jesus said to his men, you're really blessed. There's a lot of righteous men and a lot of prophets long to see what you're seeing right now, long to hear the teaching that they long for it. Even the angels. Peter said, even the angels. I can imagine the angels in heaven going, wow, when Jesus started sharing. I think they listened. When Jesus was teaching, they were listening. They said, here it is. Here it is. God is sharing his mystery. How can they turn around and walk away from that? How can they get angry at that? You know, this is God's plan that he laid before he even laid the foundation of the earth. And now Jesus is disclosing this to people. It's revealed to you and to me through the person of the Holy Spirit, whom God sent to live in those who will inherit eternal life. Paul said, no one can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If you do not have the Holy Spirit residing in you, you do not belong to God. You can be religious, you can go to church, you can sing specials, you can serve on the worship team, you can serve as a deacon and elder, but if you do not possess the Spirit of God, you don't know him, you're not his child, and these promises won't apply to you. All you got is religion. So you'll go your life trying to do what you think God wants you to do, trying to say, I think I understand the word. I remember a church I was in, this new Christian come up all excited. And he had the book of Jeremiah he'd been reading. He said, I found out why we're not supposed to have Christmas trees. I said, do what? It's right here in the book of Jeremiah. They take their trees and they deck it with silver and gold and they fasten them down so they won't fall. He said, that's why we shouldn't have Christmas trees. I said, brother, did you read the whole text or are you just reading those scriptures? I said, somebody told you you shouldn't have a Christmas tree. It was probably a preacher and gave you that text. Well, that's what it says. I said, let's read the whole chapter. In fact, we read two chapters. And then he saw God was talking about idol worship. They take a tree, they carve it into an image, they deck it with gold and silver. You guys that work construction know what deck is. We used to call it decking or skinning out. We're skinning out this building. We're putting a covering on this building. He got about half mad at me. Well, I still think it could refer to Christmas trees. I said, well, you can think what you like, brother, but, you know, that's not what God's talking about. God doesn't care if you have a Christmas tree in your house. You know, you're not any closer to him if you do, and you're not any farther if you don't. You're closer if you don't, and you're farther if you do. How in the world did he get on Christmas trees? Jesus said many righteous men wanted to hear what you're hearing. Boy, in the church, we don't hang on that anymore. You know, one of the most spiritual people, I think, in Jesus' group was Mary, the sister of Lazarus. Jesus came over one day and said Martha started fixing lunch. Mary is supposed to be in there helping fix lunch. And Martha came in there, and there was Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him teach. She said, Rabbi, tell her to help me in the kitchen. And Jesus said, Martha, you're very busy about all things, but Mary's chosen that that can't be taken away from her. You know what I think Jesus is saying? Martha, I don't have to eat lunch. Why don't you come in here and sit down with Mary? Let's eat some spiritual food. I wonder how many of us would stay here if we had a fasting fellowship one Sunday. Instead of food, we're not going to bring any food, but we're going to have a fellowship dinner, and we're going to feed on the Word of God. It's an idea. Well, I won't get a raise this year. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now, this is going along about the mystery, so yeah, I'm going to get to my point. The mystery of God. Another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You know, at this time when Jesus' men were following him, the Spirit of God was not in them. Jesus told them that. He's with you. He's outside here. He's here, but he's not in you. And see, one of the mysteries of God that he revealed through the Old Testament prophets is that one day I'm going to put my Spirit in you. And things are going to be different. It'll be a totally different dispensation. Now, they didn't get it. They prayed for God's Spirit to come. They prayed for God's Spirit to dwell in them. But they thought, surely God's not going to change anything. He's just going to put his Spirit in us, and we're going to go on doing the law. And they didn't get it. And Jesus told his men, in fact, he said, it's good for you that I'm going away, because if I don't go away, the helper won't come. But when he does come, he said, he's going to remind you of everything I've said. He's the Spirit of truth. Do I believe in new revelations? Yeah. You can't exhaust God. Jesus, before he went to the cross in his high priestly prayer, he said, Father, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they are, and you gave them to me, and I have revealed you to them. And I will continue to reveal you to them. Jesus told his men before he went to the cross, there's many things I'd like to say to you, but I can't right now. You can't bear it. But after he was raised from the dead, he started sharing the secrets. I believe that with all my heart. You know what the New Testament is? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's a revelation of God's plan of salvation. It's the secrets revealed. That's what Paul's talking about. Every bit of this is in Christ. He says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. You know what that word manifest means? Show myself to you. I'll become more intimate with you. You'll start knowing me better. You'll start knowing who I am. Big difference. In religion, you know about Jesus Christ. In a relationship, you know him. This is one of the only books you can read and have the author right there with you. The Bible. When you read the Bible, if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, the author of that book is right there with you. You ever been reading the Word and get stopped on a scripture? And I call them aha moments, and you get this revelation, and it's like, wow. Well, our church doesn't believe that God does that. Well, pity you. I remember a guy told me one time, I don't want the Holy Spirit. I don't need the Holy Spirit. I got the Word of God. I don't want all that talking in tongues and flopping around like a chicken with his head cut off. I said, look, you don't have to do that to have the Holy Ghost, but you need the Holy Ghost. I was a baby Christian. I said, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Christ. Well, I believe in Jesus. I'm saved, and I've got the Bible, but I just don't want that baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, well, you know, that's fine. That's terminology you're getting hung up on, but I said, you better have the Holy Ghost or you don't belong to him. A lot of people today profess Jesus, call him Lord falsely, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're an illegitimate child. You're making a claim that you can't substantiate. You know about him, but you don't know him. This is the mystery Paul's sharing with us. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. You notice he keeps putting that in there. He will obey me. He will keep my commandments. He will keep my word. Kind of different than what some of them hyper-grace guys are preaching now. Well, I heard one the other day said, you got to believe. What do you believe in? You got to believe in your faith. I said, man, that's circular reasoning. Believe in your faith. Faith is belief, and you're saying you got to believe in your belief. And everybody going, ha, ah, oh, ha. Ah. And I said, man, I wished I was there. I'd have went, I said, brother, would you expound on that for me? Sorry if I got you, Bill and Elizabeth. I got a piece of candy in my mouth, so I got a little more fluid. Well, Jesus said, and we will come and make our home with him. This is God's mystery being revealed. Jesus said, if you love me and keep my commandments, number one, he said, I'm going to ask the Father to give you the Holy Spirit. And he said, number two, me and the Father will come and live in you. I'm preparing a place. That's what I tell some people. Do you know if the Holy Spirit is in you, you have the Holy Trinity living within you? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Jesus said that, I didn't. That's the great mystery. God said, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, not like the covenant I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, for they did not stay in that covenant. Jeremiah 31. This is the covenant I will make with them. I will put my laws in their minds and in their hearts. And no longer will a man teach his neighbor, know the Lord, because he said they'll all know me from the least to the greatest. The Jews longed for that. And they missed it when they missed Jesus Christ. And if you miss who Jesus Christ is, you're missing that promise. That's the promise. God said, the promise in Christ. God promised it to Abraham, Abraham. He promised it to Isaac. He promised it to Jacob. He promised it to David. On and on and on through the prophets. God said, there's a coming in today that I will be in you and you will know me. Do you know him or do you just know about him? Big difference. If you know about him, you're religious. I was religious for a long time. I knew about him. But I remember the day I came to Jesus Christ, I told you, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit came into me, it was like he said, Rick, this is Jesus. Jesus, this is Rick. How do you do? Heard about you all my life. Woo, man, I'm glad to meet you. And my life started changing. I love Saul's conversion because I identify with that. He was on his way to Damascus. The Lord appeared to him, and he went to Damascus, but he had a whole different reason. And he was never the same. He wrote to one epistle, said, I was a murderer and a blasphemer. I read of a guy in a prison ministry, a guy that got saved, and he said this inmate stood up and testified and said, brothers, I read about a man who was a murderer that God forgave. He said, I read about another man who messed around with an old boy's wife and then had him killed to cover it up, and God forgave him. And he said to these cons, brothers, if there's hope for men like that, there's hope for us. That's that mystery. God said, I will be in them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. And their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. You know, it says in the law that every year the sins were brought up. When the high priest offered the blood of the goat or the lamb in the Holy of Holies, every year at the Day of Atonement, they remembered their sins. They were reminded of it when they saw that animal get its throat cut and saw that blood splattered on the altar. But now God says, I don't remember them if you're in Christ. Now, that's not a free ride, because John says, my little children, I write these things to you so you do not sin. But if any man does, he doesn't say when, he says, if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Praise God. And if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We use that for the unsaved, and that's not legitimate. He's not talking to the unsaved. He was talking to the church. He said, look, if you sin, confess it, and you'll be forgiven. Not hide it. David said, if I hide sin in my heart, I won't prosper. Jesus said, me and the Father and the Holy Spirit will live in you. That's the mystery. It's hard to get your mind around this, but if you are a Christian, if you are in Jesus Christ, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in you. You're not God. You're not a God. But you're a vessel that God lives in. That's why the Bible says your body is a temple of the Lord. Some of the men in the church of Corinth were still going to the houses of ill repute. Little extracurricular activity. And Paul rebuked him and said, don't you understand that your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit? He said, well, should I take what belongs to Christ and give it to a prostitute? God forbid. And we got young people in the church today breeding like rabbits. Not married. Sharing a bed. Sharing a home. But not sharing a name. That's sexual immorality, church. And if you profess to be a Christian, you are defiling the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says God will destroy you for that. See, God says, I'm going to come and live in you, but you better understand when I do that your body's my temple and you better not defile it. You've been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. That's not a lamb or a goat. It is the Son of the living God shed his blood for our sins. How dare we in the church take a light view of sin? It should repulse us when it comes to our attention. That's one thing the Holy Spirit does. God in us, he brings that up and says, here, deal with it. And I will empower you to deal with it. I made you alive when you were dead in sin, and I will continue to give you life if you'll stay in the faith, and if you'll follow me, I will cleanse you from this. I will purge you from this. I will break this power in your life. That's the mystery. Under the law, they couldn't do it. Nobody kept the law. That's why the church had such a fit when some of the Judaizers went to the Gentiles and said, it's good you believe in Jesus, but you got to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses. Paul said, we had no small dispute with them. That means we had a Johnny Brook. Paul said, we butted heads like stray dogs. We got after it. That's hillbilly vernacular. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you ain't cultured enough to understand that. Look it up or ask somebody here, what does he mean? Paul said, we didn't put up with that for 1 second. You don't add to the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, God could care less if you want to eat ham. If you don't want to eat it, don't eat it. And do it for him. That's what the Bible says. And give him thanks for what you do eat. But don't you dare judge a brother or sister because they eat it. And the ones that eat it, don't you dare judge the ones that won't. God's accepted them. You don't add to the cross of Christ. Not in dietary, not in doctrine, not anything else. You do not add to the cross of Jesus Christ. He did it all. That's why Paul said to the church of Corinth, I determined to know nothing when I was among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, I love that attitude. Paul's sharing the mystery of God. The mystery that was hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. Here it is, which is Christ in you, your hope of glory. Paul said, here it is, church, in a nutshell, if I can say that. I'm not being flippant, I'm not trying. He said, here it is. Here's the mystery. Jesus Christ is in you, your hope of glory. Well, brother, how do I know what's true and false? Jesus Christ is in you. Ask him. The one that wrote the books there. Ask him. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who will not upbraid. You know what that means? He won't find fault with you. God won't say, well, you're too ignorant to know that. I ain't going to answer that question. I was on a job site one time, and the architect made a mistake in the blueprints, and they had the carpenters build these stands that the furnace was going to set on these closets, and the architect forgot there was going to be 5/8 inch of concrete poured over this subfloor. So by the building codes, the furnaces were setting almost an inch too low. So the lead carpenter came in there and said, you got to tear all this out, and we got to put all this back in. Well, the building supervisor was a real jerk. I mean, he was a by-the-book guy, but he was mean. He had a mean, nasty spirit, a mean, nasty temper. And I remember the foreman one day said, Woodrow's going to come up and ask me, what in the blank, blankety, blank are you doing? Why did you raise those platforms? He said, I don't know what I'm going to tell him, because he'll argue with me that the architects are never wrong. You build it to the blueprint specs. And I said, well, what I would do if he come up and said, why'd you do that? I'd look at him and say, you're the building supervisor and you don't know. And just turn around and walk away. And he laughed. He said, I like that. I said, put the monkey on his back, man. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that? He said, ask me and I'll tell you. Well, brother, I've been reading these books and I had a kid tell me, I've been reading these comic books, and they got sorcery and that in them, and I know I'm a Christian, probably shouldn't be reading them, but what do you think? What are you asking me for? Seems to me like the Holy Spirit's already told you to quit reading those books. I'm not going to override what the Holy Spirit says. You'll have no excuse when you stand before a judgment seat of Christ, especially if you're a Christian. You'll have no excuse. I didn't know. Jesus go, pfft. I was in you. My spirit was in you, and you didn't know? We do that. that all the time. Well, I really don't know if it's a sin or not, but I allow it. The Bible says if you're not doing it of faith, it's sin. If you're not sure whether you should be drinking or not as a Christian, and you go ahead and drink, the Bible says you're condemning yourself. It says, happy is the man that does not judge himself by what he allows. Oh, man. Paul said, here's a great mystery I want to share with you. Jesus Christ in you. He alone is our wisdom. He explains the mystery. God lives in the Christian. And we take it for granted. We'd rather watch days of our death than read the Word. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said, wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Think about that, Christian. Where do I spend the most time? Do I spend it with God? Now, I understand if you got family, you got to spend it with family. Paul said if a man's married, he thinks about how to please his wife. And yeah, but you can't love her more than Jesus. She can't love you more than Jesus. I heard Dr. Gary Smalley say this a while back, and I know I'm getting off track, but I just want to share this with you. One of the biggest problems in relationships is we try to put things on our spouse that God never intended for them to do. We want our spouse to meet these needs, and only Jesus Christ can meet them. But we demand that our spouse do it. Yeah. Dr. Smalley said only Jesus Christ can fill those needs. Made me look at my wife a little different. Christ in me, my hope of glory. Christ in you, your hope of glory. That's the secret. That's the mystery. God's not keeping secrets from his church anymore. He still reveals truth through the word, the preaching, the teaching. He still reveals his presence to us. And I'm going to tell you what, we live in such a dangerous time, you better be getting close. You better be getting close to God. Because there's a lot of false prophets and a lot of false teaching out there. And if you don't stay on track with the real God, you're going to get sucked into that other stuff. If you're here this morning and you say, I don't know if I have the Holy Spirit. I don't know that I've ever really made a profession in faith. I've never received Christ. Then come up here and talk to me about it. As our worship team comes up and we sing the song of invitation, think about this. This isn't to condemn anyone, make you feel bad. I'm just saying think about it. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. How do I get the Holy Spirit? The Bible says, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And after that, you shall receive the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for everyone afar off, for all whom our God will call. You have to know that you're a sinner. You have to know that you need a Savior. And you have to receive what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. Because you can't do it yourself. You'll never be good enough. You'll never be religious enough to get into God's heaven. It's all in Christ alone. When Christ comes and lives in you, he changes you. You're not the same person anymore. And it's a lifelong change, a lifelong process. This was God's plan before he ever laid the foundation of the world. That song, Blessed Assurance, means a lot more to me now. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. When you become a child of God, it says he seals you with the Spirit. He marks you as his. And the Holy Spirit is God's down payment guaranteeing you that he's going to do what he said he'd do. Would you stand with me this morning? Amen. I'll tell you what, this study has just, boy, it picks me up. Jesus Christ is in me, my hope of glory.
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true.
Jesus Christ is the only one that can do this.
Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.